Pauline Chen is in the studio with me tonight. She is a former professor of Chinese literature at Oberlin College. She's the author of a novel for young readers titled Pei Ling and the Chicken Fried Christmas. Tonight we're going to talk about her novel for adult readers, which is titled The Red Chamber. It's actually based on an 18th century Chinese classic titled The Dream of the Red Chamber. Pauline, I'm delighted for you to be here tonight.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Let's talk about your Red Chamber first, because this is really a fascinating world that you invite us into. It's a highborn family living in a mansion. Actually, it's a compound that they live in the early 1700s in China. The matriarch is Granny Jia.
Jia, that's right.
And also called Lady Jia by the servants, of course, yes.
Yes.
And she really rules the roost in this compound, so to speak. It's also true that her son, who's the oldest male, has an outside job, if you will. They're very connected to the courts of the time and so
yes.
forth. But I want you to tell us something about this microcosm, if you will, of women and servants who live in this compound and over whom Granny kind of rules, if you will. So who's there? Who's with her?
Okay, so in this family, there's Dai Yu, who is a young cousin who grew up in modest circumstances in the South, who, when her mother dies, comes to this compound to live. And at first, she's simply dazzled by the grandeur and splendor of this place. But then as she's there longer, she starts to find some emotional emptiness and tension within this opulent mansion. Another important character is Xi Feng, who is the young woman who's in charge of running the mansion. She is extremely capable, conniving almost, brilliant, a great strategist and diplomat, but her status in the household is slowly being undercut by the fact that she is unable to have a baby and give the family an heir, and her husband is starting to think about marrying a second wife to give him a child.
And she, Xi Feng, is a daughter-in-law.
That's
so
correct.
She's been brought into the family. The husband is the son of Granny.
That's right. She's also someone who married into the family. And then the final major female figure is someone named Bao Chai, who is a cousin of the family. And she is someone who is extremely controlled and dutiful, seems like the ideal woman in this society, never expressing her own desires, always subordinating herself to other people. But her secret is that she has a brother who's very wild and violent and who's been embroiled in the law courts for years. And she hides this from everyone under this facade of primness. And she's starting to have certain desires and dissatisfactions at the role that she is forced to play. So these are some of the major characters in my book.
The outside world does intrude in that this family does serve, so to speak, at the pleasure of the court or of whomever is in power
at
the time. So what happens sort of midway into this book? What happens to the emperor?
In the beginning part of the book, this family is extremely close terms with the emperor and has a personal relationship. But later on in the book, this emperor whom they're close to dies, and in a coup, one of his least favorite sons takes over the throne, and he is immediately very suspicious of all those who are close to his father and tries to purge them from the government, leading to the downfall of this particular family.
We talked a little bit before we went on the air about Xi Feng, and I said to you, she really seems like the CFO in this situation to me, has a lot of power, but also is constantly trying to maintain that, to maintain her status. So
yes.
There's all kinds of intrigue going on in this compound, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I think that power is always in the hands of those who seize it. And she's been able to keep it because she's very capable, but she's always afraid that some other woman will marry into the family and compete with her for that power. So her position is more precarious than it seems.
And she also, because she controls the money, she also is looked at as the person who wears the black hat, if you will. So the rest of the family is not always have friendly feelings toward her.
That's correct. And it's one of the qualities of the family that most of the other people are just enjoying the wealth and luxuriating in it and never thinking about where it comes from and what the consequences of it are. And they have no idea the types of struggles that Xi Feng is going through in order to maintain their standard of living.
That one of the fascinating things about this are the details of everyday life that you include. So clothing, food, I mentioned before, one of the characters' favorite foods is pickled turnips fried in gluten batter. Yes. He's the favored son. A favorite amusement is flying kites, and they do something called lantern riddles to amuse themselves. What are lantern riddles?
On the 15th day of the New Year, as part of the New Year's celebrations, it's a custom to write riddles on little strips of paper and then hang them on lanterns. And then the family will take turn guessing each other's riddles.
So they're sitting around in a group and they play this kind of game.
Yes.
Another really interesting thing about this book is that there is a book that precedes this that inspired you.
Yes.
It is titled Dream of the Red Chamber. It's a Chinese classic, I think, written in the 18th century.
Yes.
And just some facts about it are fascinating, which is one is which was 2,500 pages long. It had 400 characters. I hasten to say to our listeners that Pauline has been friendlier to us. Her book is about 300 and some pages, and she has maybe a couple of a dozen characters for which she gives us the cast at the beginning of the book. Very helpful. The author, and I'll let you say his name, the author,
Cao Shiqin.
The author died before he finished the book.
It's unclear. It's believed that he finished the book and then he died and that the ending was suppressed. Or people aren't quite sure, but I think the most likely thing is that he actually did finish the ending, but that it was lost for some mysterious reasons, possibly that they were politically dangerous because they were critical of the emperor, I think is the most likely scenario.
Tell us what inspired you in the original Dream of the Red Chamber to write your Red Chamber. What was inspiring about it?
I think one thing was the complexity of the female characters. And one thing I love is that there are two women who are vying for the love of the same man, but they are at the same time very close friends and in some ways closer to each other than they are to the man. And this idea, this kind of triangle in which the women were close to each other was something that fascinated me. It was something that I loved in the book Gone with the Wind with Melanie Wilkes and Scarlett O'Hara, both fighting over Ashley Wilkes, but yet depending on each other in times of crisis. So that was one thing that inspired me about the book. The complexity of the woman inspired me, and also the question of, in a society that's so constrictive and that offers women so few choices and opportunities, what can women make of their lives? And that was the question kind of that was behind me, driving me as I wrote it, and that I was always asking myself, what level of choice can they have? Can they make moral choices, or are they always coerced into the choices that they do make?
And one of the things that's interesting then in their individual relationships is that while Granny, for instance, casts servants aside like an old piece of worn-out clothing, you have other characters who form very close relationships that ultimately are life-sustaining for them.
Yes, there are two examples in the book of women who are very close to their servants, and those relationships with their servants are in some ways the formative relations of their lives. So I believe that this was actually the case at that time, and it makes sense because women lived within the women's chambers. They did not see a lot of men. They did not leave the compound much at all, and it makes sense for them to grow very close to those who are by their sides.
And so the Red Chamber then, it refers to the women's quarters in this case.
Yes, that's great.
And the red is why? Why the color red?
Well, in China, it's a color associated with love and happiness and passion. And it was also the color that aristocratic people's mansions were at that time. And it's particularly a color associated with where the women lived. So I'm not exactly sure on the exact derivation. I think it was just that at that time, the architecture had red walls on the homes.
Fascinating book. Thank you so much. Thanks for paying homage to the original Dream of the Red Chamber, but also giving us this version, which really takes us into that world without it being complicated for us. I think people will see relevance to today in terms of this microcosm and the various characters, the various women in it, and how, you know, we'll see ourselves and our friends, certainly.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me.
It's delightful to talk with you. Thank you for being here. I've been talking with Pauline Chen about her novel, The Red Chamber. You can find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.